Our sermon series for this Lenten season begins with one really kind of simple presumption, and that is that if you've never been somewhere or if you've never done something before, it's always good to seek out guidance from someone who has. People who have been there and done that generally are able to give you a pretty good idea of where you may find struggles, where you may experience problems, and be able to help guide you through maybe some of those obstacles. Years ago, I knew a woman who just was always on the go. She loved to travel. She traveled the world. She worked. She was really active at church. She just seemed unstoppable. What a lot of people didn't know about her, I'll call her Mary, was that Mary had a colostomy bag as a result of a colon cancer surgery that she'd had years before, but it didn't slow her down at all. She just kept going. And something her daughter told me that I didn't know, which I thought was really cool, was that the surgeon who had done this procedure for her had her on speed dial. And so whenever he would do this surgery on somebody else that needed to have it done, he would give her a call. And the next day, she would show up in their hospital room with a really powerful message. I've been there, and I know you feel like right now your life has come to an end, and it has in the way that you knew it before, but I'm here today to tell you that your life is not over, that you can live a happy and a full life. I know, because I'm doing that right now. So what a powerful ministry she had that came out of something that was really pretty awful, that would have seemed to have stopped a lot of people. It just didn't stop her. And she was able to say, and it doesn't have to stop you either. As disciples of Jesus, we have one place where we can go for guidance in terms of what does it look like to live faithfully in our world today. And that is to the Gospels. Because in the Gospels, we not only have Jesus' example, the example and the model of his life, but we also have his teachings. And really, that's everything we need to know about how to live faithfully in the world today. In our scripture reading for today, we're picking up in chapter 10, pretty much where we left off last week. In chapter 10 of Matthew, Jesus sends his disciples out in mission for the first time. He sends them out to proclaim the same message that he was proclaiming, that the kingdom of God has come near, and to heal and to exorcise demons and do all the things that he was doing. He's now calling them to do. But he also has some really practical advice for them as well. And he tells them, here's some things that you're going to encounter. Here's some things that you need to do. Last week, we talked about how he said, don't be real fussy about what you pack. Don't worry about that. God will take care of you out there in the field, out there in the world. He's going to take care of you, so don't worry about that. Also, don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't feel like you have to have that all scripted and written out. God will give you, the Holy Spirit will give you the words that you need. Today, he also addresses another topic that is important, another obstacle that disciples are going to face in the world. And so we pick up in Matthew 10, verse 26, so have no fear of them, says Jesus, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground unperceived by your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. So as I read this as a guide to being a disciple, something I notice is a kind of a refrain in this text. And it's really not a very long text, but he says it over and over again. Have no fear. Do not be afraid. So what that tells me is that you will be afraid. That's going to be a part of your life. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you are faithfully serving God, fear is going to be a part of your is going to be a part of your life, or there are going to be moments when you are afraid. Now, I truly believe that a lot of what people fear is simply the result of watching too much cable news. But there are real things in the world to be afraid of. There are really scary things out there. No doubt about it. There's a story I love about a hometown football team that's a great illustration of this. They had a favorite running back. His name was Calhoun. And one week, they were playing a neighboring team, and this neighboring team was known for having this really big, burly, mean, quick defensive line, and they loved to brutally attack the running backs from the other team. So the night of the big game comes, and the hometown team gets the ball, and they go four downs and out. Calhoun never touches the ball. So, of course, the other team gets the ball. They score immediately. Now it's their ball again, and the hometown fans are screaming, "Give the ball to Calhoun!" And so first down, he hands the ball to another running back who is promptly smashed at the line of scrimmage for no yards. And so now it's second and 10. They're chanting again, "Give the ball to Calhoun! Give the ball to Calhoun!" But instead, he drops back for a pass, and he's immediately smothered by the defense for an 8-yard loss. Now it's third and 18. Well, of course, the crowd's really going crazy at this point. "Give the ball to Calhoun!" They're shouting this so loud that the other players in the huddle can't even hear what the quarterback is trying to say. And so the quarterback, kind of frustrated, he pulls out of the huddle, and he motions for the crowd to be quiet, and then he puts his hands up to his mouth, and he said, "Calhoun says he don't want the ball." Kind of hard to argue with that. There are some things in our world that are scary and that we should probably be afraid of. The problem comes, however, when we let fear immobilize us, when fear causes us to not even do the things that we know are right. And it can, and it does cause us to just freeze and to not do even the things that we know God wants us to do. And that's a problem. That is a problem. So to all of the real and imagined fears, Jesus says, don't fear that stuff. Really, you don't need to fear that stuff. Do you know what you should really be afraid of? He says, this is the part that's kind of interesting. I'm going to come back to this too, because there's a little schizophrenia going on here. He says, don't fear anything, but you better fear God, the creator of the universe, who could wither you with a glance, who could destroy your body and your soul in hell. And I think Jesus did this because he knew something really important about human beings and about the way we work. He knew that when people really fear and respect God, they tend to avoid sin. And I really believe that's true. And I could preach a whole series of sermons on this topic, because what sin does is it interrupts God's purposes for us and for his creation. And God doesn't want any part of that. So when we fear and respect God, sin is going to be one of the first things it goes. It has to. It can't remain in our lives if we're truly going to be in relationship with God. And I know this has been true for me. The older I get, the more I fear displeasing God. And I know that hasn't always been the case. I think when I was younger, I feared displeasing my parents. I feared displeasing my teachers. I wanted to please them. I wanted to do well. Later, I feared displeasing churches where I served. I feared displeasing my wife. There's consequences for doing that, right? But here's the thing I've learned, and that is that the fear of displeasing people is a lousy motivation for faithful living. Not only is it a lousy motivation for faithful living, but it's also a recipe for failure. Because if your only motivation for living out your faith is fear of displeasing people, not only will you displease people, but you'll also displease God. That's how it works. That's not where it should be. Basically, a no-win situation. Oswald Chambers, in a book called My Utmost for His Highest, I'm not sure if this quote is in that book, but this is a great quote. It says, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you fear God, if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. I'm convinced that God doesn't want wimps, he doesn't want whiners, he doesn't want people who are basically cowards as part of his team. I also believe that he doesn't want bullies, and he doesn't want blowhards as a part of his team either. What he wants are people who know that they're weak, who know that they're prone to sin, who are willing to be conduits of his power and love in the world, and who are willing to act courageously and boldly on their faith. And when they do that, amazing things can happen. There's a great movie. It came out a number of years ago. I have no problem recommending this movie to anybody that's not seen it, called The Mighty. So if you get a chance, check this movie out. It's a wonderful movie. It's about two little boys. One has a debilitating disease that makes it so that he can barely walk. He has to get around on crutches, and even then it's not easy for him. And he has a next-door neighbor who's this big, awkward kid who has learning disability and doesn't have any friends. And so they're both lonely. They're both tormented by bullies. They are both really unsure of themselves. But they discover that, like, for instance, the kid that can't walk has this amazing mind, and he can teach him. And together, they can be mighty. So it's a powerful movie about friendship, but it's also about faith, and it's about courage. And so we're going to watch a clip here. And in this clip is one of the first times they discover that together they can live like knights, like knights of old, like the knights of the Round Table. And that's kind of their code. And so we're going to watch this, and then we'll take it from there. No? Okay. Well, let me describe what happens in this clip. Not showing up. Okay. That's all right. Okay. So in the clip. the one that can't walk is on the other boy's shoulders, and they're in this little restaurant, and there is a man basically abusing his girlfriend, his wife, hard to say which, and they go over and they confront him, and the little one leans down and he says to him, when they see this happening, he leans down and he says, a knight's worthiness is proved by his deeds. And so they go over and they confront him, and he looks up, and at first he's ready to fight, and then you kind of see him do this thing, and he looks up, and there's a knight on a horse in front of him instead of just these two little boys. And as they leave, they're coming across the bridge, and the one's on the other one's shoulder, and they're walking down the middle of the street, and that's all you see. And then you pull back a little bit, and then you see that there are knights in shining armor riding behind them. and it's just it's a great image of the fact that when we act boldly and courageously in God's name, amazing things can happen. God can come to us and act in our lives in amazing ways. Basil King, the author of The Conquest of Fear, said, go at it boldly and you'll find unexpected forces closing around you and coming to your aid. When we act boldly and courageously, kind of like those two little boys, you find that you've got more power and more power at work in you and through you than you could have ever imagined. So Jesus says, don't let fear rule your life. Don't let fear rule your life. Unless it's the fear of God. And so this is where it gets a little schizophrenic. So are we to be afraid, or are we not to be afraid? Because it seems like he's talking out of both sides of his mouth here. I found a translation of the scripture that we used this past Wednesday night. Some of you have heard this before, but I'm going to share it with the rest of us. because I think it gives us a little bit better idea of what Jesus was trying to say here. So Jesus says, guys, it's natural to be scared of persecution and death, but there are scarier things out there. Your father, for one. He's the scariest hombre there is. And you have nothing to fear from him. Okay, there's the rub. He's the scariest hombre there is, but you've got nothing to fear from him. When you understand this, when you know that God is for you, not against you, it will free you from the fear of people. So don't be afraid and don't worry. He who cares for the sparrows cares for you. And don't you think you have to do any of this gospel preaching stuff in order to earn your way into my kingdom? No, little flock, your father is pleased to give you the kingdom. So the overriding message in this is that God is with us. But even beyond that, the overriding message in this is that God is love. So it turns out that the antidote to fear and the courage to do the right thing both come from the same place. They both come from God's love. And the best analogy that I can think of to this, parallel I can think of to this, is parenting. As a young father, there were a couple of things I picked up pretty quickly, and probably most of you figured this out too. One was that I needed to encourage my kids to overcome fear in order to learn to do new things. So learning to walk, learning to ride a bike, jumping off a diving board into my arms. You know, you're saying, it's going to be okay. You can do this. It's going to be okay. And they overcome their fear and they realize, hey, I can do more than I thought I could. But on the other hand, and this is the part where it always gets a little bit dicey, I figured out that there were certain things they needed to be more afraid of me than of doing something that could seriously hurt them or kill them. But they didn't know that yet, right? So, for instance, running into a busy street. As a parent, you see them go in that direction, you give them a stern warning. In my case, when they did that, and they did that a second time, or a third time, or a fourth time, they would get a smack on the butt, too. And just to put an exclamation mark on it. And I don't know if that's proper parenting technique now or not, but it worked. It worked. They were more afraid of me than they were running into the street. There's some things that you can let a kid learn on their own, and you need to let your kids learn on their own. But getting run over by a car is not one of those things you can let them learn on their own. That's something you've got to teach them. So why did I encourage them to overcome their fear? Why did I give them a spanking when they needed it? Because I loved them. Because I loved every hair on the head of my babies, and I didn't want them to get hurt. And that's how God loves us. That's just as simple as it is. He has numbered every hair on our heads. That's what Jesus says. And of course, that's easier on some of us for God than it is for others. But that is how God loves us. And when we understand that, we can live boldly and courageously, understanding that God does not want to condemn us. For God so loved the world, he sent his Son, not so that he could condemn the world, which it deserves, but so that we might be saved through the power of that love. So let us live boldly and fearlessly always in love. Let us pray. Lord, you have called us, you've created us, you've loved us like a father or a mother loves their babies. You have numbered even the hairs on our heads. You sent your Son in order to give us a guide for how to live in that faith and in that courage. Help us to live boldly and fearlessly always in love. For we ask this in Jesus' name.